Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White, the third, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, number 160, where I read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and give the sense of it, or the understanding of it, based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, and the giving of the sense of it, or the understanding of it, the church would be revived, and the world would be awakened. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah 8:8. Where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading of the Word of God. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the giving of the sense of it, the understanding of it, the church would be revived and the world would be awakened. Dear friend, today we are reading Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read in your hearing Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. Now here is the sense of it. Yea, the understanding of it, from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Years later, from among one of the four horns kings, there would arise, Gabriel said, a severe and cunning king, a powerful ruler. He would devastate property and destroy people in order to expand his kingdom. The holy people, the nation Israel, would be a special target of his oppression. In subjugating Israel, many would lose their lives just when they thought they were safe. His antagonism against Israel would also be against her God, the Prince of Princes. Yet this mighty conqueror himself would be destroyed by supernatural power. His rise was not his own doing, and his downfall was not by human means. He died insane in Persia in 163 BC. The king referred to here is known as Antiochus the Fourth, Epiphanes. After murdering his brother, who had inherited the throne in the Seleucid dynasty, he came to power in 175 BC. In 170 BC, Ptolemy the Sixth of Egypt sought to recover territory then ruled over by Antiochus. So Antiochus invaded Egypt and defeated Ptolemy the Sixth and proclaimed himself king in Egypt. This was his growth in power to the south. On his return from this request, trouble broke out in Jerusalem, so he decided to subdue Jerusalem. The people were subjugated, the temple desecrated, and the temple treasury plundered. From this conquest, Antiochus returned to Egypt in 168, but was forced by Rome to evacuate Egypt. On his return, he determined to make the land of Israel a buffer state between himself and Egypt. He attacked and burned Jerusalem, killing multitudes. The Jews were forbidden to follow the Mosaic law in observing the Sabbath, their annual feasts and traditional sacrifices, and circumcision of children. Altars to idols were set up in Jerusalem, and on December the 16th, 167 BC, the Jews were ordered to offer unclean sacrifices and to eat swine's flesh or be penalized by death. Though his friends called him Epiphanes, the illustrious one, no wonder the Jews call him Epiphanes, the madman. Antiochus's desecration of the temple was to last 2,300 evenings and mornings before its cleansing. Some take the 2,300 evenings and mornings to mean 2,300 days, that is, a little more than 6 years. In this interpretation, the 6 years were from Antiochus. The 6 years were from Antiochus's first incursion into Jerusalem to the refurbishing and restoring of the temple by Judas Maccabeus in late 164. A second interpretation seems preferable. Rather than each evening and each morning representing a day, the reference may be to evening and morning sacrifices, which were interpreted by Antiochus's desecration, with two sacrifices made daily. The 2,300 offerings would cover 1,150 days, or 3 years of 360 days each plus 70 days. This is the time from Antiochus's desecration of the temple on December the 16th, 167 BC, to the refurbishing and restoring of the temple by Judas Maccabeus in late 164 and on into 163 BC, when all the Jewish sacrifices were fully restored and religious independence gained for Judah. Whichever interpretation it is, that one accepts. The figure of 2,300 was a literal one, and so the time period was literally fulfilled. There is no question among expositors that Antiochus is in view in this prophecy. What was prophesied was fulfilled literally through him. However, the prophecy looks beyond Antiochus to a future person, the Antichrist, of whom Antiochus is only a foreshadowing. This coming one is said to stand against the Prince of Princes. This can be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, the prophecy must go beyond Antiochus and look forward to the coming of one whose ministry will parallel that of Antiochus. From Antiochus, certain facts can be learned about the forthcoming desecrator. Number one, he will achieve great power by subduing others. Number two, he will rise to power by promising false security. Number three, he will be intelligent and persuasive. Number four, he will be controlled by another, that is Satan. Number five, he will be an adversary of Israel and subjugate Israel to his authority. Number six, he will rise up in opposition to the Prince of Princes, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number seven, his rule will be terminated by divine judgment. So it may be concluded that there is a dual reference in this striking prophecy. It reveals Israel's history under the Seleucids, and particularly under Antiochus during the time of Greek domination, but it also looks forward to Israel's experiences under Antichrist, whom Antiochus foreshadows. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death to these beautiful bodies, death to so many things before you die, death to marriages, death to relationships, death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately, you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and you shalt be saved." Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, and but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you. Until next time.
If you look at the hard left and how they treat law enforcement in the last 5 or 6